Let's open our Bibles, please, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. This is one of Paul's letters to this specific church. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And among a lot of things in that letter, this verse caught my attention and has to be with a theme that we will be developing in the next couple hours. Don't laugh. Kids, I told you, don't let your parents laugh. Are you ready? Do not be angry with each other, but forgive each other. If someone does wrong to you, then forgive him. And this part is very important as the rest of the verse. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also forgive. Has Jesus ever forgiven you about anything in your past? And I think everybody in this room, including me, will say yes. He has forgiven me. Not about one or two things, but about many things in my past. And the Bible established here, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive to all of those that will offend you for things they say or they do against you, consciously or unconsciously. Now, let's go a little bit back to Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. The reality is that we are exposed to be hurt by people. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. We also have that scripture on the screens. And you're going to follow me as we go and read this scripture. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his faults in private. Please tell your neighbor, in private. You're not convinced. Tell your neighbor, in private, not in public. Tell him. Go ahead. Tell your neighbor. That's very important. If he listens and pays attention to you, you have won back your brother. But if he doesn't listen, take along with you one or two others. Now tell your neighbor again, one or two others. So that every word that may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses, if he pays no attention to them, in other words, refusing to listen and obey, then the Bible says, tell it to the church. Now again, tell your neighbor, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be you as a Gentile, in other words, as an unbeliever. Now, we see different steps here in how we as Christians are supposed to handle our personal conflicts. And the first one that we saw in this scripture is go to the person who offended you. How do we go to this person? In private. In private. I think you went too far. You need to go back in that slide. When we get offended by anyone, our responsibility, no, this is not an option. Our responsibility as Christians is to go and talk to that person in private. Nevertheless, sometimes we don't walk according to God's word, but we go out to our friends and tell them what that person did to us. And doing this, we are as bad as our offender. Go to the person who offended you, the Bible says. And the purpose, and watch this, the purpose is not to prove how right I am and how wrong that person is. The purpose of going to talk to that person who have offended me in private is to restore the relationship. God's desire for all of us is that we live in unity with one another. But we will be offended, and usually from people who live close to us. And you can name your dad, your mom, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your uncles, your aunts, your friends. In school, your co-workers, you are going to be offended by people close to us for things that they say or they do, consciously or unconsciously. And when this happens, many times those who offended us don't even know that they did. So when you talk to them, you are helping them to understand that they did wrong. On the other hand, it might happen that those who offended us didn't have intentions to hurt us. And when you talk to them with the right attitude, things are fixed. But when we say about handling things in the right way, what are we talking about? Well, first, you need to pray. You need to put the situation in God's hands. Secondly, you got to go with a humble spirit. To handle things right with your offender is not just prayer and have a humble spirit, but also use the right words. Doing the right time. Not trying to prove how correct you are and how wrong that person is, but looking to restore the relationship. And usually, if we follow this, things will work for good. My point is, when we have the ability, with God's help and blessing, to stop a lot of personal conflicts right here, if we just follow His instructions. But when we try to do in our way and in our time and according to how we think that things should go, then we can end in a big mess. And we have seen that to happen. All of us, with no exception. Now, if in case our offender does not respond properly, the second step is take one or two others along with you. Why is this? So that every word that may be confirmed by the testimony of other witnesses. You need witnesses. Since the first step didn't work, now we need some people with us to help us fix this problem. And that's why you take one or two mature people with you, so they can influence in the right way and get things restored. The third step is tell it to the church. Now look, this is not the first step. But many times for some of us, this is the first step that we take. But this is in the third place. Tell it to the church. So everybody knows and prays and helps him as a body of Christ. So he can be restored. Why we tell to the church? To keep gossiping? To keep putting that person down? No. To pray for that person. And to help that person to come out from the hole up. If he doesn't listen to the church, the last step is let him be to you as a Gentile. In other words, as an unbeliever. As somebody who never have an encounter with Jesus. But there is power in forgiveness. And I ask you please to go a little bit farther. And let's find the second letter of Paul reading to the Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 4 through 6. And we're going to find out here the power that there is in forgiveness. Because again, we will be hurt. We can't just decide to be at home, close the doors, and stay there forever because we don't want to be hurt by anybody. We will never grow. We will get stuck spiritually. We will never mature if we don't expose ourselves to everything that's going on around us and learn how to handle correctly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. When I wrote to you before, I was very troubled and unhappy in my heart. I wrote with many tears. I did not write to make you sad, but to let you know how much I love you. Someone there among you has caused all this sadness. He has caused this not to me, but to all of you in some degree. I mean, he caused sadness to all in some way. And I do not want to make it sound worse than it really is. The punishment that most of you gave him is enough for him, Paul said. The Apostle Paul is making a reference to his first letter to the church in Corinthians chapter 5, where he said that there was a man who was living in sexual immorality with his father's wife, most likely his stepmother. And the whole church knew about it, but unfortunately they didn't do anything to solve it, the problem. So Paul told them, when you get together, you gotta confront him. In our Christian walk, we are called not to live with our problems, but to deal with them. There's a big difference between living with our problems and dealing with our problems. We gotta learn the right way to deal, and we have to deal with any situation that is causing us an obstacle to grow in our relationship with God. So Paul told them, you got to confront this person for his wrongdoing. If he's not willing to repent, you will have to remove him from the church. So sin will not have a bad influence among others in the church. But something happened between the first letter and the second letter, and we can see that in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But now, you should forgive him and comfort him. You see? What do we need to do as a church to somebody that is walking away from God's principles? One, forgive him. And two, comfort him. For what? So this will keep him having two things. Not too much sadness. And this is the worst part that can happen if the church fails in forgiving and comforting, that this person will walk away from God's ways completely. I have seen that to happen many times. And this can keep happening if we fail in handling conflicts in the right way. Apparently, what is happening is that when the church removed him from the church according to the discipline, he realized how bad he behaved and came back and asked for forgiveness. Now, he was ready to repent. He was ready to change. He was ready to come back to the fellowship with the brethren. He was ready to get into God's presence. He was missing God's presence in his life. So he came back and asked for forgiveness. But the church didn't want to forgive him. They told him, Paul asked us to remove you, so you are out. And that's why he was disgusted and with a lot of sadness in his heart. But look what Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 says. If you go on hurting each other and tearing each other apart, be careful. Be careful. You will completely destroy to each other. Now, let's think for a moment. If the church fails in restoring those who fell in sin and truly repent, do you think that the people in clubs and bars will do it? No. Love and forgiveness only, everybody say only, comes from the body of Christ. But I'm talking about truly repentance. And when I say truly repentance, I'm talking about if a person is going this direction and to go that direction goes against God's principles, now this person repents and takes the other direction. The opposite way. The way that pleases God. But no, what happened with many people that they just sin and confess, but they kept sinning, and Satan have them going in circles. Confessing and sinning. Day by day, month by month, year by year. They're stuck. They're not growing. Truly confession is, I repent and I change my direction. And now I'm walking according to God's principles. When that happens is when the church comes and really forgive and restore that person. In verse 8, Paul says, so I beg you to show him you love him, that you confirm your love for this man. Verse 9, for this is why I wrote to you. I wanted to test you and see whether you are obedient and committed to follow my instructions in all things. And you did, said Paul. If you're waiting to hear from me, in verse 10, he said, I also forgive him in the name of Jesus. Now, in verse 11, Paul says something very important. He said, I did this, forgive him, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his plans. In other words, forgiveness prevents Satan from taking advantage of our lives. And if the church, or if we as a church, don't forgive those who sin against us and repent from doing wrong, we are giving Satan an advantage over us. The word advantage in Greek means to win a game. The word advantage in Greek means to overcome a fight. And I'm asking you to you today, how many of you would like to give Satan an advantage in your life? Raise your hand. I don't think anybody wants to give a place to Satan in our lives. Well, if you resist forgiving those who offended you, you are allowing Satan to have access into your lives through bitterness. You are allowing Satan, if you don't want to forgive those who hurt you, you are allowing Satan to get into your lives through resentment, hatred, and anger. So again, why forgiveness is so powerful? Because forgiveness prevents Satan from taking advantage of our lives. Thinking of this, the Bible invites us to pursue peace with one another. Go with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all people and live lives free from sin. If anyone's life is not holy, he will never see the Lord. The word pursue means look for it until you find it. Say with me, please. Look for it until you find it. Go ahead. One, two, three. Look for it until you find it. That's what it means, pursue. It's not talking about, oh, I called and he didn't answer, so I did my part. Oh, I went to his house, I ring the bell, nobody came out, so I did my part. That's not what it means, pursue. Pursue means look for it until you find it. Go the extra mile. We need to make a big effort to live in peace with one another. Sometimes it's not easy, but it's not impossible either. If there is a lack of forgiveness in our hearts, according to verse 14, we are not in peace with our brother and sister. And if we are not in peace, we're not walking in holiness. And what the Bible says, if we are not walking in holiness, God's word says that we will never see the Lord. That's what it says. If there is lack of forgiveness in our hearts, we're not in peace with our brothers. And if we are not in peace, we're not walking in holiness. And if we are not walking in holiness, we will never see the Lord. I didn't write that. I'm just reading to you this morning how serious it is to resist forgiving to those who offended us. Now, in verse 15, the Bible says, be careful that no one falls short of God's grace, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. A person like that can ruin all of you. If we are not in peace with our brother and sister, we will fall short of God's grace. Fall short means that we will not have God's grace in our lives. We will not have God's grace in our lives. On the contrary, a root of bitterness will begin to grow inside of each one of us. And bitterness is like a poison. If you have a lack of forgiveness in your heart, this is like the soil where the root of bitterness grows and produces poison towards your offender. This is serious. This is very serious. And the problem is that it doesn't stop there, but it goes beyond there. Allowing bitterness is like poison that starts contaminating you. But it goes and starts contaminating others too. Our bitterness might contaminate other people around us. When you are laying down in bed, you will be thinking about that situation, thinking, I should have said this to him. Next time I see him, hey, he's not gonna beat me. I'm gonna beat him. Next time I see him, I'm going to respond like this, and I'm gonna hurt him double compared to what he did to me. That is bitterness. And the last part of the verse says that for these, many, not few, many will be contaminated. You will be with your friends, and this person's name will come in the conversation. And you will say, oh, yeah, he looks so good in church. But you didn't know, you don't know what he did to me. And you start telling them everything he did to you, plus whatever he didn't do to you. But just to make the story interesting, you add other things. That's bitterness. As humans, we always have the tendency to make things bigger. So we look good and they look bad. So we look holy and they look sinners. So we are up here and they are down there. So the next time your friends see this person, they will be thinking about all you told them. And sometimes we have good memories, especially for the bad stuff. So they have been contaminated, and their opinion of him will change. They will back away from the relationship. I have seen this to happen many times. Because of bitterness that you keep in your heart, you are contaminating not only yourself, but others around you. And that starts with your family. And that goes to people in your workplace, your neighbors, everybody that you have access to, you will be contaminated. Why? Because you are contaminated yourself. So how do we walk in the power of divine forgiveness? What will the Lord want us to do in response to his word this morning? Number one, accept the fact that you are going to be hurt by things that people will say or do against you. Make the decision to forgive those who offend you. This takes effort to seek them out and talk with them. You have to go with the goal to restoring the relationship and not trying to prove how right you are and how wrong they are. This means that you don't gossip or talk about your offender. Number three, what the Lord wants to do? If you actually hurt somebody with something that you say or did, you need to go and ask for forgiveness. Don't think that time will solve the problem. Time never solves anything. It makes it worse. The sooner, the better. Four, understand the dimension of divine forgiveness. And try to understand the dimension of the divine forgiveness has to be with this question that you need to make yourself. Have I fully understood the dimension of divine forgiveness? If you really understand what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary to give you complete freedom of sin and hell, then it will make easier for you to forgive. But if you don't understand what Jesus was doing in that cross for you, it will be very difficult to offer forgiveness to those who hurt you. So first, I need to understand what he did for me to set me free. And once I get that, deep in my heart, that's going to help me to act as a dispenser of needed human forgiveness. Am I acting right now in my personal relationships? Am I acting as a dispenser of the necessary human forgiveness? Or am I holding people account until I see them suffering? Offer forgiveness to those who offend you. There is power in forgiveness. But all starts in understanding what he did for us in that cross. That will make things easier. We don't want to open our hearts for Satan to put bitterness and hatred and anger in us. Sometimes those who hurt you, they probably die already, or they move far away from us. But we are carrying them with us wherever we go because we haven't made the decision to forgive. You see, forgiveness, just as love, is not a feeling. It's a decision. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He make a decision to love us. Without thinking the condition where we were. And he gave the best that he had, his only son. Are we giving our best to those who offended us? Consciously, unconsciously? things that they do, they say against us. With faith, with no faith. If we decide to walk in forgiveness, that's going to bring so much freedom. So much freedom to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Let's pray together.